Hello, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the first official episode of our Faith, Family, and Fellowship podcast. I'm Otis Robinson.
And I'm Bronte Robinson.
And we are super excited to kick off this year with our first official episode of our podcast that we're calling Faith, Family, and Fellowship. And so we want to take some time to just kind of talk a little bit, share our heart, talk about what we love to talk about, which is faith.
Family.
And fellowship. So we envision that this podcast will be us, you know, sharing some stories about our faith and what we believe, and you know, of course, Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of stories that we do things with our family, which today is what we're going to be talking about, just a family event and fellowship. We'd love to at some point begin to invite people on with us and chat with people and just sit down and just basically have general conversation. And a lot of this stuff will be around the table for us because that's what we do. We are a family that sits at the table and we have conversation. So.
And you know, with this, we hope that it is something that we say that can encourage you, that can help you, that can inspire you, and also that can give you a little laugh every now and then. So faith, family, and fellowship is what we're going to focus on, which kind of covers a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And we're excited. This is something that we've been talking about doing for a long time now. And so we're finally pulling the trigger because
yes.
we have declared that this is the year that we're going to emerge.
Indeed.
And so we are emerging this year and doing some things that we have had on our agenda to do, or our vision board to accomplish. And so we're
vision
just
board.
Super excited about this new thing that we're
are
venturing
people
out
still
to
do. Doing vision boards?
Yes, of course.
I've never done one of those. It's a good idea. I've never gotten it. I mean, I guess is it more for women than men?
Yeah, I don't think many men do vision boards, but I do think it's important for you to write it. Don't the Bible tell us to write the vision?
And make it plain.
Make it plain. And so a vision board is just visuals of, you know, what you see for yourself.
Yeah. I guess I just never really thought about doing a vision board. I can see the relevancy behind it, but it's not something that comes to mind for me to do a vision board, but you know.
So you're more of a writer anyway.
Yeah, I am more of a, I like to write my stuff down, but visuals, I can get that. I don't really think, because what do you have to do? You have to get a magazine, a set of magazines, and find pictures and words and sayings and stick them on some kind of board or something.
You can get magazines, or you can draw, or you can Google and print pictures out. Now, you know,
true.
Back in the day, we used to do magazines a lot, different kind of magazines, but now we have the internet, and so you can print pictures off now.
True. Fellas, if you're out there, if you're listening, have you done a vision board before? I'm not biased or anything like that, or I'm not what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, but you get what I'm saying. I'm not saying men can't do it, but if you've done one, share it with us. Let me know what you did. Did you print your stuff from Google? Did you pull a magazine? And how did it turn out? And what have you accomplished on your vision board? I need the fellas to jump in and help me out, because if it's something I need to do, then I need to get it done so I can see visually where I'm headed.
Yeah. And so speaking of vision and the things that we plan. So this year we plan to attend Chilean competition. Every year we attend Chilean competition for our niece who lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a competition. Yeah, we try to. There was a competition that was planned for February in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Yeah. And so we made arrangements prior to 2021 to attend the competition.
Yep.
And lo and behold, because of the whole pandemic, COVID-19 situation,
mm-hmm.
the competition was changed to a virtual event.
Now that's, everything is virtual right now. So I was trying to figure out how in the world they're going to do a virtual competition, you know, so let me step back. When we've gone to these before, the excitement is in the atmosphere, as it is with just about everything. I mean, we're missing church in full blown effect as far as us being there and
yes.
being able to worship God. We're missing some of the games that we would go to see it in full blown effect. You know what I mean? So when I was thinking about a cheerleading competition, I'm like, how are they going to do this virtually? So basically, and maybe you can explain it, but because you're more, weren't you a cheerleader back in the day?
Yes, sir. Red Devils.
Sis Boomba.
Central Red Devils.
Red Devils. How about Kendrick High School?
Where you whatever. At?
Anyway, so the virtual environment was like, I guess they would have to record themselves cheering, and then they would submit that in to the judges, I guess, and they would watch it to determine who did the best. So that's just the nature of where we are right now. And I honestly don't think that that's going to go away anytime soon. It's going to be virtual probably from this point forward. Now, you know, once we get back to business as usual, whatever the new norm will be for us, even for example, for church, you know, have people register to come in and have to wear a mask, et cetera, et cetera. But most people are still online as well. So you have the options there, right? But it is not the same. It's a little bit different. I think that that's going to be around for a long time now, that there are those two options.
I believe that too, but there's danger in all of the virtual stuff and because people don't really get to interact, they don't really get to build relationships.
True.
You know, and that's
a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, and it's important for children, you know, to be able to interact with each other, to learn how to deal with each other, to learn how to negotiate, to learn how to talk, to learn how to compromise. You know, all those things you can do more so when you're in person, virtual, you know, versus being virtual.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about.
It is. So we're in Vegas with Leilani.
Yes.
That's her name. That's our niece's name. anyway, we're in Vegas with her based on our word that we were going to show up for the cheerleading competition. But of course, the cheerleading competition was canceled. But we still went because her birthday. Her birthday was coming up.
Right. And because we had given our word and she was really looking forward to seeing her family that weekend and all of us celebrating with her in Vegas. Now, we had an out. I mean, we could have said, no, since you're not having competition anymore, we're just going to stay home, save the money, and we'll see you later. But, you know, your word means a lot.
It does. It does. So it makes me think about, you know, a lot of people that grew up with perhaps in a single parent home. Let's go that route. I mean, that's the example I have in my mind, where you have the traditional single parent home is that the father is not there. That's what we're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. And there are times where the father would promise their child that, hey, I'm going to pick you up, or I'm going to be there to your, I'm coming to your game or to your dance or whatever, your dance recital, whatever. But when you say that, a kid takes that and they're saying, okay, my dad's going to be there.
Right.
And when dad doesn't show up, then you've kind of violated the trust and the commitment that you made with that child. Do you think that affects people today?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. And because, you know, a lot of her family is not there. You know, a lot of it is there, but a lot of the family is not there. And so I thought that it would be super important for us to show our love and to show that, you know, we still want to celebrate you, that we go and attend the COVID-19 birthday celebration. It was a little different, but it was still fun to see family, you know, and visit Vegas.
And then there are times, you know, when we talk about keeping a commitment or keeping your word, sometimes you just can't be there. You can't attend.
Right.
And so
that's true.
Your word is just as strong when you let them know up front, I can't do it. I'm not going to be there. And they can respect that better. And I think that that happens across the board with parents. I mean, there are sometimes you just can't make it. When we think about that, you know, the commitment, the word you give, your word is bond, as people say, your word is bond. It means that you're really going to stick to what you say you're going to do.
Right. And that's in anything in life. You know, if it's on your job, if it's in your relationship with your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, or your sister, your brother, if you say you're going to do something, you need to try your best to do that. And you know, I've heard it said before that if it's something that you want to do, you'll find a way.
You'll figure out a way to do it.
If not, you'll find an excuse. And so we need to just be held accountable for our words.
That's really good. If you want to do it, you'll find a way. If not, you'll have an excuse. You'll create a way out, which in this case, we had a way out, but we wanted to stick by our word. And, you know, of course, we don't always get that right. People don't always get that right.
Right.
You know, so, but anyway, we got to Vegas and it was a good time. Now, it may be kind of strange for a 13-year-old to want to go to Vegas, Vegas, baby. But, you know, in the context of what we were doing. So to give you a little bit about us, we're not gamblers. We don't drink and smoke and all these things. But let me tell you, Vegas, the beauty of the architecture.
Beautiful.
Oh, wow. The beauty of the architecture and the buildings. I mean, you could literally take a full day, a day and a half, just to get through all the buildings and the structures that are made up in Vegas. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Amazing. You know, the most exciting part for me was the old Vegas.
Yeah, the old section. Yeah.
I mean, it was lit up. It was dancers, like break dancers out on the street. Mm-hmm. It was people playing the drums out on the street. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah. And this was our second trip to Vegas.
Yes.
We went once before. Was that like 2012? Somewhere between 2010 and 2012. I can't remember exactly.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Time is flying, y'all. Anyway, we went, the two of us, we went together. And at that time, of course, you know, we didn't have a pandemic. And you have a lot of people out and about. What I enjoyed about this time is that there were a lot of people there, but it was not the normal people. Can I say it that way? People that are passing out cars that have half-naked women.
Yeah.
And stuff that you don't want kids there for that part of it. But there are certainly things there in Vegas that are appropriate for kids. They had the M&M store and
yes,
candy stores, the Hershey store, and all
right,
those different stores. There are things there for kids.
The indoor theme park, which is where we spent a whole lot of
yes,
time.
Circus. Yeah, Circus Circus was really nice. It's a big indoor theme park, so they could ride roller coasters and play video games all day if you wanted to take them there. So there are things there to do for kids. But in the traditional sense, I don't think that it would be good to have kids in Vegas.
No.
That's my personal opinion. And personally, I don't want to keep going to Vegas knowing that there are things there like that, but that's everywhere.
I mean,
stuff like that happens. It's not just in Vegas. They call it Sin City, but sin is everywhere, right?
Right.
And so we have to know ourselves. We have to know what we're doing when we get into situations like that. But that, for us, it was just an exciting time to walk around with family, look at these amazing buildings, and celebrate with her for her birthday and just to see her mom and her sister, Jada. I mean, it was a good time.
It was. And you know what? Thinking about it being called Sin City, mm-hmm. Some people would say, what are you doing in Vegas, being that you're mm-hmm. a Christian? How can you even go to Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, but we were there to support our family.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what's most important. If we never go out and about, how can we be the light?
Yeah.
And so I believe us being out and about and still being able to uphold our Christian standards and live this life that we confess, you know, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we live that life.
Yeah.
No matter where we are, we live that life. And so I think it's important, even as Christians, for us to be out in the world so that those that don't know him can see the light.
True. Can't get into. I remember our first time when we went and we struck up a conversation with one of the guys on the street because he was trying to give us a free trip, which, you know, that turns out to be a timeshare and all that kind of
right.
stuff. We knew what was going on, so we didn't want to get into that. But anyway, he started asking other questions about what I did, et cetera. I told him where I was working, and I also told him, hey, I'm also a pastor. You know, I lead a church, a wonderful church in Alabama, blah, blah, blah. Went through all of that. And he was like, but you're in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. He said, so how does that work? I said, well, I could still be here. I just don't have to be involved in everything. And I know what I can and can't do. And he said, wow, I'm amazed at that you're a pastor and you're here in Vegas and you're upholding your standards. I'm like, yeah. And so it made me think about, you know, the statement is what happens in Vegas stays
right.
in Vegas. And so I'm sure that there are people that go into Vegas and they can do what they want to do and mm-hmm. feel like they're free to. But no, we have to be the light wherever we go. And, you know, as believers, that's just what we do. So, but anyway, the trip was great. But the subject that we kind of were bringing out is that when you say something, do what you say you're
that's
going
it.
To do. So that's critical. That's the critical key of what we're discussing right now is being committed to your word and fulfilling what you say you're going to do.
That's right. If you say you're going to do something, because your word is everything.
Yeah.
And so if you tell someone that you are going to be there for them, if you're going to do something, that means a whole lot. And you know, sometimes we take that for granted.
Yeah.
The fact that my words mean more sometimes than anything. You know, me just being there, me just showing up, it means more than a gift.
Yep.
You know, and I know for me, it means more than a gift. You know, you can always get gifts. You can always, you know, get things. But for someone to be true, to tell the truth and be true to their word, that means everything.
And, you know, as you say that, you know, we are her aunt and uncle. She has parents, her dad, right. Her mom, and her bonus mom. You know, I don't like to say step, but her bonus mom. And I mean, they're a great family to support her as well. But, you know, as her aunt and uncle, we made a commitment that we would try to make it. You know, typically I haven't been able to go to every trip for the, but this year I wanted to make sure that I was able to do that, and I made that commitment. So I feel good about accomplishing that goal.
Well, it was her 13th birthday.
Okay, is that why I went?
Well, she's becoming a young woman. She's a teenager. It was a big birthday, and so we all wanted to be there to support her.
Yeah.
And celebrate. It's a milestone.
That it is. I remember when I turned 13. Man, it's been a long time ago.
A long time ago.
No, I didn't ask for extra input. No, I don't need all that. But it was a good time. I did want to give a scripture just to kind of sum this up a little bit. 1 John 2:5 says this very simply, and this is the ESV version. It says, "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in him." And so when we express something that we're going to do something and we show people what we say, what we spit out is what we actually fulfill.
Right.
It is a representation of us being in Jesus Christ. And so at the end of the day, you know, we don't always get everything right. But to the best of our abilities, we should strive to do what we say we're going to do.
That's right. Need to be a man or a woman of your word.
Nice. Nice. I think I've done a good job of keeping my promises to you.
You have. Very good. Kudos to you.
Plug. Yeah. So, it was a good trip. We enjoyed it. We got a chance to spend time with family. And then the other thing that we did that, you know, there were a lot of people in Vegas, and say what you will about coronavirus and all these different things, but we did all the things that the CDC is requiring people to do, wearing masks, using hand sanitizer, washing your hands, keeping distance. And we stayed pretty much with our family. But there were times where you were in a crowd for a brief moment. And, you know, we protected ourselves to the best of our abilities. Mm-hmm. And thankful to God that we still feel good. It's been we're coming close to a week now. So, I just believe that we've been covered. My heart goes out to the families of those who have succumbed to COVID-19, who have lost family members, those who are battling with it right now.
Yes.
Just know that we're praying for you, and that's our word. And before we end, we'd love to just pray for you and cover you in prayer. But I just, you know, we're praying that the Lord moves this thing very soon. We're in 2021 now. We've had just about a full year around March for the United States, I think end of February, first part of March, there, mid part of March, a full year of this thing.
Right.
We've had enough.
Yeah, enough.
We've had enough. So, guys, this, you know, we just wanted to take that time to share with you today on our very first podcast episode number one.
Yes.
Man and woman of your word. So make sure to keep your word. Make sure to love your family. Love your family hard. We only get one family. And, you know, we often say this, that family is not necessarily just blood.
It's
those individuals that mean so much to you that you engraft them into your family, much like God engrafted us into his family through his son, Jesus Christ. And so whoever your family is, love them, but be sure that your blood family, you're connected to as many of those individuals that you possibly can be connected to. This trip was with my wife and my in-laws and my siblings on my wife's side, or a couple of, you know. But, you know, again, we don't use step and all that stuff. So they're family for me.
Yes.
And when my wife is with my parents and my brother and my sister-in-law, et cetera, we're all just family. Mm-hmm. Love the family you have. and love those that are a part of your family. We have friends that are like family, that they're engrafted into our family, and we just love each other. But whatever you do, do your best to keep your word with those individuals. And if you can't do something, just be straight up and say, I can't do it.
Exactly.
And that's going to be smoother. It's going to go over smoother than saying, I'll be there, and you don't show up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So just be truthful with each other, and that's going to build a strong, powerful relationship. And this concludes our family, faith, family, and fellowship episode. This concludes our faith, family, and fellowship episode. And so thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
I don't want to take too much of your time. So let us end in prayer, just real simple, okay, if we can. Heavenly Father, we're grateful today for your divine presence, God. We thank you for so much. We thank you for all that you've done for us and for our families. We thank you for constantly watching over us and consistently being there. You are a good father to us, God. And we pray today for our nation. We pray for the world at large. We pray that, God, as we are dealing with COVID-19, God, that we can sense the horizon coming, and that you're removing this thing from us in a way that we can begin to function without even thought of it anymore. That's our request. We pray for the families of those who have lost someone due to COVID-19. We pray for those that may be battling with it right now. And God, we ask you to continue to keep your hedge of protection around us and continue to help us to be the best that we can be as we continue to look at our faith, our family, and the fellowship of those that are around us. God bless you all. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.